It is truly my great honor and fortune to have been invited to this very holy place, Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, to be with all of you. I was wondering what to speak about. I asked my dear godbrother, Sureshwara Prabhu, and he reminded me that I was supposed to be here in 3 days, on January 26, which is, I believe, the day that the Indian Constitution was established. Is that historically correct? The old ones usually always work better, at least for me. So he Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari, Hari. Can you hear? No one can hear. Hare Krishna. So my dear godbrother recommended I speak on the Istan Constitution. But I don't know how to talk about that. So then he gave me another idea, to speak about the constitutional position of the soul. And I would like to speak about one of the most historical, relevant discussions on that subject in the history of this creation. And it happened to take place 500 years ago from now. On Kartik Purnima, the last day of Kartik of last year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Vrindavan Dham. And that year is the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival in Vrindavan. He remained there for 2 months. In those days, Vrindavan was a very secluded forest. In Mathura, there was the Adi Keshav Temple, which was very beautiful. And after dancing and chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna, and inducing thousands of the people of Mathura to do the same, he crossed the river Yamuna to Sri Vrindavan. And for the next 2 months, he wandered through the 12 forests. The places of Krishna's pastimes are revealed to us in holy scriptures and are worshipped in the hearts of great devotees for the last 5,000 years. But over time, with political changes in the country, invasions and so forth, many of those holy places were forgotten. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha Bhavaduti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam, who is Krishna with the complexion and the Mahabhav, the love of Sri Radha, When he arrived in Vrindavan, he was coming home. The cows would gather around him and moo very affectionately, welcoming him home. They recognized him as Krishna. They licked him. The deers did the same. The peacocks danced around him. The parrots sang beautiful songs and were having wonderful poetic narrations about their love for Radharani and Sri Krishna. Even the plants, the trees, the creepers, the flowers were blossoming with extraordinary, inconceivable fragrances just to offer their love as they welcome Krishna back home to Vrindavan. Of course, we know that in his Aprakata Lila, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Sri Radha is forever present there. But on the manifested level, Krishna left Vrindavan about 5,000 years ago. And 4,500 years later, as Lord Chaitanya, he came in the role of his own devotee on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. He left after 2 months, and in the month of Magh, which I believe it still is now, he arrived at Prayag, the great place where every 12 years there is the Kumbh Mela. That year it appeared that it was the Magh Mela at the time. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the confluence of the Triveni, the Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati rivers, he was swarmed by many people. He went to the temple of Bindu Madhava 500 years ago from about this time. And there, in front of this ancient deity of Sri Krishna, he performed the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. But it was not just Sankirtan. It was Prem Sankirtan. It was the congregational chanting that he was inducing, the original ecstatic pure love that's within the heart of every living being. And Sri Radha is the source of all love. And Krishna is the ultimate object of all love. And they were in one form exchanging the ras of their love. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita tells in great detail that Krishna knows everything. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna. Krishna tells, I know everything in the past, all things in the present, and everything that will come. And being situated in the heart of all beings, he knows every desire, every thought, every action of every living entity. Not only in this city of Bombay, not only in India, not only in the earth planet, not only in this universe, not only in all the limitless, countless universes, but beyond these universes, in the spiritual world. Krishna knows everything. But there was one thing he yearned to know, the nature of Sri Radha's love. When he tastes the sweetness of her love, he becomes so happy. But when she tastes the sweetness of his love, her happiness is beyond even his comprehension. What is the glories of Sri Radha's love? What is it about me that induces such happiness in her heart? And what does she feel when she tastes the sweetness of my love? For that internal purpose, Krishna descends into this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the mood of Sri Radha. But as the Karuna avatar, Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nithai Gora Chandra, he's supremely merciful because he comes to this world in the most fallen age of Kali, not only to taste that love, but to distribute it, to give it freely, without considering who is fit or who is not fit, without making the restriction of who is qualified or who is not qualified. Dina hina yate chilo harinama udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. He gave this love to even Jagai and Madhai. Srila Prabhupada, he explains Jagai and Madhai as the epitome of the fallen condition of Kali Yuga. They had so many addictions, so many bad habits. They were cruel, they were envious, they were lusty, they were greedy, they were arrogant. They were always in a very deranged state of consciousness through intoxication, and what they were eating was can't even be spoken. But Lord Chaitanya gave them the treasure of the love of Vrindavan, something that's one of the greatest secrets of the Vedas. And in doing so, he wanted to give everyone, whoever we are, whatever we've done, wherever we've been, faith that he's come to give us that treasure, that supreme wealth, anandam buddhivardhanam, that happiness that everyone is essentially seeking, the awakening of the soul's potential to love Krishna, to taste the limitless sweetness of Krishna's love. And he especially did it through inducing people to chant the holy names of the Lord. At the Bindu Madhava temple, he was expressing his own happiness, not only in tasting Krishna and Sri Radha in their names, but in the compassion of giving it to others. As he was dancing, with tears pouring from his lotus-like eyes, his limbs trembling, his long arms raised high in the air. Just by seeing him, hearing him, feeling him, people developed complete faith in the Sankirtan of Krishna's names. And they followed him just to please him, they chanted. And because they were chanting without offenses, just to please the Lord, within their hearts, their love awakened.
At that time, Rupa Goswami had come to Prayag with his younger brother, Anupam. The story of Rupa and Sanatan and their younger brother is one of the foundational histories of our sampradaya or our spiritual lineage. They were in seats of prime ministers, home ministers of the highest power in the Bengali government. But they were very intelligent and very devotional. And they had no attachment for any of these things. They yearned for love for Krishna. And by the power of their humility, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to their city of Ramkeli. And in the middle of the night, they secretly, incognito, came to meet him. And Lord Chaitanya told them, go to Vrindavan. He gave them a mission there. Lord Chaitanya, he went back to Puri from there by the influence of Rupa and Sanatan. And Rupa Goswami, he left along with Anupam. But Sanatan, he remained. It's quite mysterious the reasons why he remained. But in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains, because the king, the Nawab Husayn Shah, was so pleased with him and so affectionate with him, it was very difficult for him to leave. But he didn't go to his office. He was actually ruling the whole kingdom. He called in sick. Rupa and Sanatan, they hired two Brahmins to perform special yajnas and special pujas just to release them from their material challenges and attachments. And after Rupa left, Sanatan Goswami, he just stayed constantly in a group of Brahmins studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was so happy. And one day, Nawab Husayn Shah came to his place, and out of respect for him, Sanatan Goswami and all the Brahmins who were sitting down in great, great absorption reading Srimad Bhagavatam, they stood up and gave the king a nice seat. And the king said, why have you not come to do your service? You told me you're sick. I sent a doctor. The doctor said you're in perfect health. You're just spending the whole day reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam with all these Brahmins. He said, my tendency is I just go out with my armies and I conquer lands and destroy anyone who stands in my way. And while I'm doing that, I'm completely depending on you to take care of the whole kingdom. And you're doing such a good job. You're like my own brother. While your older brother is out conquering, you are not performing your duties. Why? Sanatan Goswami, it's described, he didn't leave because the king was so pleased with him and affectionate toward him. So he had a plan. He said, I'm sorry, I cannot come anymore to the office. I resign. And you're the king. That means you have the authority over the law. So you can do anything you like. The king was no longer pleased with him. He was no longer affectionate toward him. So now Sanatan Goswami could leave. But there was some challenge, because the Nawab Hussain Shah put him in prison with chains around his limbs in an underground cell, which is still there in Ramkeli. But he was happy, because he had complete faith in the will of the Lord. And the six Goswamis really teach us how to have complete faith, but to be very practical too. When Rupa Goswami, they were so wealthy. First he gave 10,000 gold coins to a Bengali grocer. And then the rest of his money, he filled up two large boats with them. And he took the boats to his native place, and there he distributed half to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, 25% to his relatives, and he kept some for emergency. And what was that emergency? To help his elder brother. So he sent a message to Sanatana Goswami. He said, I sent two messengers myself to Jagannath Puri to ask when is Lord Chaitanya going to Vrindavan. And they told me he already left. So we're going immediately to Vrindavan. So you should also come to Vrindavan. I deposited 10,000 gold coins with this grocer. So you should use that somehow or other. He'll deliver it to you to escape. When Rupa Goswami and Anupam arrived at Prayag on their way to Sri Vrindavan town, they saw hundreds and thousands of people chanting the holy names of Krishna. And they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After the kirtan, a South Indian Brahmin invited Lord Chaitanya to his home to take prasad. Lord Chaitanya was sitting in a secluded place. And Rupa Goswami and Anupam, from a little distance away, they offer their prostrated obeisances again and again and again with tears of love. And Lord Chaitanya saw them and called them, get up and come here. So they came before the Lord and the Lord embraced them. After embracing them, he placed his lotus feet on their heads. And it was at that time, that historical moment, that Rupa Goswami composed a beautiful prayer. He stood before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded palms and recited, we can chant together, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurudveshe Namah. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes there are limitless incarnations of the Lord that appear throughout history in various planets, in various universes. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. And Krishna is the origin, the source of all other incarnations. And all the qualities of every incarnation that has ever been or will ever be, all those qualities are within Krishna. And the scripture tells when Krishna appears in this world in his beautiful threefold bending form of Shamsundar, all the various avatars are included within him. He has all the six opulences in their fullest. And yet he appears as an ordinary cowherd boy who's chastised by his mother, who dances with gopis, who plays with his friends while he's herding the cows and the calves of Sri Brajbhumi. So although Krishna is the supreme, all-powerful source of all incarnations and the source of all material and spiritual worlds, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate, Rupa Goswami explains, Krishna has now appeared not in a bluish form, but a golden form. And Srila Prabhupada in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita translates this beautiful verse by giving a little purport within his translation. He says he's come in the golden form of Srimati Radharani, filled with her love. And Rupa Goswami says, and this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more munificent, more merciful than even Krishna. Now, if he's Krishna himself, and Krishna's all merciful, how could he be more merciful? In the philosophy of Achintya-bheda-bheda-tattva, all these apparent contradictions can be understood, but not by our intellect alone, not by our philosophical prowess alone. We utilize and develop these skills to our capacity, but ultimately, it's only by the mercy of the Lord that we could know the Lord. When Krishna reveals himself to us, even the most insignificant, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's in his mid-90s. When he begins, such a work with such Sanskrit, such Bengali, such poetry, such philosophy, to begin at that age. And he explains, he came to Vrindavan at an old age by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And in Vrindavan, under Kalpavriksha trees, there's a golden throne. And seated on that throne is Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. And at the time that he was there, one of the pujaris or priests for Radha Govinda Dev was Pandit Haridas, who was a disciple of Anantacharya, who was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. He describes the qualities of Haridas Pandit. He was constantly immersed in remembering the Lord. His life and soul was reading and having other people read the beautiful stories of the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. And what were the qualifications of Haridas that gave him that higher taste where he could 24 hours a day be absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya? He was tolerant, gentle, humble, self-controlled, always compassionate to all beings. And he describes he was adosha darshi. That means he always saw the good qualities in others. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this context, he quotes a Sanskrit verse, that everyone in this world has good qualities and bad qualities. But as we make spiritual advancement, we see the good qualities. We focus on the good qualities. Srila Prabhupada gives example. A honeybee isn't interested in garbage. He just goes to the flower and takes the nectar from the flower. And flies, they're not interested in flowers or nectar. They're interested in garbage. So every one of us have this, as human beings, we have this free will. If we look for the faults in others, then we become very, very much affected by those faults. And if we look for the good in others, we become enriched by that goodness. Haridas Pandit saw every living being as a child of Krishna, and especially the devotees. He just wouldn't hear the faults of a devotee. And in this way, he was always bringing out the very, very best in everyone. And in this spirit, because he was tasting the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had absolutely no inclination toward worldly news or gossip. And therefore the devotees, and he describes who was associating with him, Bhugarbha Goswami, Govindadev Gosai. These were all devotees who 24 hours a day they were immersed in loving service to the Lord. Whether they were eating or whether they were sleeping or whether they were worshiping the deity, and everything they did was for the pleasure of Krishna. And all of these devotees approached Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and requested him. But their request he accepted as an order. That Vrindavan Das Thakur, his Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat is so voluminous. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are so unlimited. He focused mainly on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But his later pastimes, he did not explain in so much detail. But for so many years, you are living at Sri Radha Kund and hearing every day for so many hours from Raghunath Das Goswami about those pastimes. You should write them. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is telling all of us, the readers, he's so unqualified. And he has, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives lists of his disqualifications. It's hard for us to even speak them. He considers, in one place he says that I'm covered with the boils of envy. If anyone hears my name, they lose all their piety. If anyone speaks my name, they become sinful. I'm lower than a worm and stool. And Srila Prabhupada and all of our acharyas, they tell, he's not just saying this. He feels it. Now, if for one of us to feel like this, we would probably be brought to a mental hospital. But he was feeling it because he was experiencing the greatness of Krishna. And he was realizing, in the presence of Krishna's greatness, in the presence of the greatness of other Vaishnavas, he was completely humbled. He was really feeling like this. But it was his impetus to totally surrender and take shelter. And therefore he's worshipped by all of us as a Mahabhagavat, a person of the very, very highest level of self-realization, of ecstatic love. And besides that, he was so old. He writes, I can hardly see, I'm almost blind. And my hand is shaking. He didn't have computers. In those days, to write something down, you had to have different dyes from natural herbs in the ground, and you had to scribe it in palm leaves or in the bark from trees. And then he gives an analogy. He says, for one who receives the mercy of the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavrinda, even if that person is dumb. Dumb means you have no power to speak. That man or woman, that person could speak the most beautiful poetry. A person who is lame can climb and cross over the highest mountains. And even a person that's blind can see the finest stars in the sky. Now this may sound like some poetry that is very impossible to take literally. But for Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, it was a very personal, literal realization that for him to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in his state was just like a blind man seeing the stars, a dumb man speaking poetry, and a lame man crossing mountains. And yet, it's happening. And he explains, it's not me writing. Who was it that was writing? He's about to explain. When all the devotees requested him, he took that as an order. But he required a confirmation from Krishna. So along with the devotees, he went to the temple of Madan Mohan, the deity of Srila Sanatana Goswami. And there was the pujari at the time was Gosai. That was his name. And he was offering loving service to Sri Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami silently offered a prayer to begin writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he absolutely required the blessings of Krishna. He prayed for those blessings. And just as he prayed, the mala garland fell off of Madan Mohan's neck. And the pujari immediately picked it up and placed it around Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's neck. And all the devotees saw that, and they unanimously accepted, this is the confirmation that you prayed for. And he began. So this is the quality of a great devotee. Is they relinquish any sense of ego with complete dependence on the will of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord. When Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag offered this beautiful prayer that Lord Chaitanya, you are the most merciful, you are the most magnanimous, he was surrendering himself to that mercy. And there at Prayag, Lord Chaitanya, for 10 days, at the Dasasvamedha Ghat, he instructed Srila Rupa Goswami. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a beautiful analogy, and Prabhupada says it is an exact replica of these two historical events. Before the creation of our universe, Krishna personally enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the essence of all knowledge, not only of how to create, but what is the perfection of life and how to achieve it. And in the same way, at Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu impregnated, infused within the heart of Sri Rupa Goswami his own love with all the knowledge. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, and rasa tattva. The ultimate essential truths about Krishna, about the path of pure devotional service, and about the intimate loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees and the devotees with each other when they are infused with that devotion. Seeing the humility and the sincerity of Rupa Goswami, reciprocating with his surrender, Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And later on in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees, when I embraced Srila Rupa Goswami, I gave him the power to understand completely everything I speak. Not only that, the love of the heart of Lord Chaitanya, he invested in Rupa Goswami's heart. Sitting on the banks of the river in Prayag, the month of Magh, 500 years ago from now, he began his explanation of bhakti. He said, Sri Rupa Goswami, he said to him, that the discussion of the loving exchanges and the spiritual truths of Krishna are like a limitless ocean. an ocean that has no shores and an ocean that has no bottom. It's a limitless ocean. And the most anyone can possibly explain is one drop from that ocean. But the power of that one drop is it can inundate and completely drown an entire universe. So I am now about to explain this drop to you. And he explained there are 8,400,000 species of life, quoting from the Padma Purana. And of these different species of life, some are moving and some are unmoving. Aquatics, insects, birds, beasts, they are the moving. And among them, Durlabhamanava Janmalobhya Samsare. It's actually very rare to get a human birth. Now, from a relative perspective, living in a city like Mumbai that has about 18 million humans, living in a country like India that has over 1 billion humans, it might be a little difficult for you to think that it's very rare to get a human birth. But when you consider all the microbes, there's limitless living beings just in your body that are of other species. And within this human life, there's the incredibly valuable opportunity to understand our true nature. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the Vedanta Sutra tells. Human birth really begins when we inquire into the nature of who we are. Sanatan Goswami, 500 years ago, just after Prayag, Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi, he asked these questions. Who am I? Who is God? Why am I suffering? What is the purpose of life? How to achieve the purpose of life? When we sincerely ask these questions, the real potential of human birth is actually we're appreciating. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sri Rupa Goswami that most humans, they don't even follow any real spiritual principles. And those that do accept a religion, so many, they just do it with lip service. But they don't really follow any of the rules or regulations. They just claim that they're of a particular religion and have some pride in their religion. But they're not really making any spiritual advancement whatsoever. And then those who actually do follow religious principles, most people do it just to improve their material life. Lord Chaitanya calls it karma nishtha. They want to improve their economic development. They want to improve their sense gratification. Maybe even they want to attain some higher planet for better enjoyment and longer life. Explains of so many people who are following the principles of karma nishtha, out of millions of such people, it's very rare to find one who is realize jnana. Srila Prabhupada translated, a person who actually has wisdom. And such a person aspires for liberation from all these dualities, from all these illusions, and for all the sufferings that are connected to them. And out of millions and millions of people who have actually not only taken to the path of knowledge, but who have achieved liberation, it's very rare to find one pure devotee of the Lord. He quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukta namapi siddhanam narayana pararena sudulabha prasantatma koteshvabhi mahamuni. Why is it so rare? Krishna will give material enjoyment if you do the right religious activities. And Krishna will give liberation, mukti, if you do that properly. But when he gives prema, pure love, he gives himself completely. He becomes subordinate to the love of his devotee. It's so rare. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give it freely in the age of Kali to the people who were least qualified. He explained to Rupa Goswami the nature of the soul. We are not these bodies. We are not these minds. We are in the body and in the mind. We are the witness. We are the activating force. Mamaivam so jivaloke. We are a part of God. And he explains that within this world, the soul itself is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Even the finest microscope can never find the soul. But the person who's looking through the microscope is that soul. Otherwise, the body's dead. And that soul, even after wandering through so many universes and so many planets, through so many species of life, for endless experiences in time, when it comes in contact with the true spiritual master, the seed of devotion is awakened from the heart. And along with that seed, which comes by grace, divine grace, comes the instructions and the inspiration of how to water that seed. Lord Chaitanya is explaining there is nothing so precious as that seed of bhakti, the bhakti lata bij. And through the 9 processes of devotional service, primarily hearing and chanting, the seed is nourished and it begins to grow. And he explains, along with it, other creepers, like weeds, they grow. The weeds of a desire for adoration, distinction, the weeds of envy, jealousy, greed, cruelty. And unless we have really good association with very, very advanced devotees of the Lord, Guru Sadhu Shastra, unless we have very, very sincere sadhana, then inevitably we will not be able to distinguish between the devotional creeper and the weeds. And we'll water the weeds in the name of bhakti. And as the weeds grow, we're thinking, I'm making spiritual advancement. And that happens. If we're not very careful, it will happen. Not maybe. And we see throughout the world, in so many spiritual traditions, when somebody becomes powerful, when somebody becomes influential, when somebody gets prestige, when somebody is able to satisfy their greed, they're thinking, just see how spiritually advanced I am. They actually believe it. Because Maya makes those weeds look just like the devotional creeper, the bhakti lata beach. He said, but the most dangerous of all things is offending devotees of the Lord. It's like a mad elephant that comes into the garden and tramples the seed of devotion, and the leaves just dry up. So we must be able to distinguish these weeds as they will come with the devotional creeper, and we must cut them down. And how do we cut them down? By not acting according to their dictations. By discriminating. Rupa Goswami made it simple. Accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. And as we're living by these principles, Trinada Prabhupada in this regard quotes Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. And through the practice of bhakti, especially the chanting of the holy names, it actually destroys these seeds. The greatest way to cut them down is not to give in to them by following these regulative principles of freedom and to sincerely take shelter of the holy names of Krishna. Thank you. I'm not finished. I'm just thanking you. And when the seed is growing nicely, when we follow properly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that seed of devotion, it becomes a creeper that grows beyond all the various 8 layers of material existence, bhuloka, bhuvarloka, swargaloka, maharloka, janaloka, tapaloka, satyaloka. It goes beyond all of that, pierces the very covering of the universes, of the whole mahatattva, the whole creation. And it enters into the Brahma Jyoti, the limitless, pure light of the spiritual sky, Krishna's own effulgence. And it doesn't stop there. It keeps growing to the Vaikuntha planets of the various avatars, the original eternal homes. And it doesn't stop there either. It grows up until it reaches Goloka, the eternal abode of Lord Sri Krishna. And that supreme abode, the creeper of bhakti, ripens into the fruit of prem, or ecstatic love. And then the gardener offers that fruit at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radharani and Krishna. And this is all happening while we're while the gardener is living in this world. It's all happening within our hearts. We can be sitting here in Mumbai and our devotional creature is actually at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in ecstatic love in Goloka Vrindavan. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the nature of bhakti. And he goes into great intimate detail. And the culmination of bhakti, prema, ecstatic love. And then he goes into very, very great descriptions of the nature of ecstatic love and its culmination in the Madhurya Leela of the different relationships of Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham, where Krishna becomes our friend, our child, our lover, where his supreme majesty and his greatness as the controller, the creator, the destroyer, the ultimate possessed proprietor of everything that exists, it all falls in the background, being overshadowed by the sweetness of his pastimes, the song of his flute, and the loving, intimate nature of how he reciprocates with his devotees' love. That is Vrindavan. And he culminates with the source of all love, the beautiful pastimes between Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give us eternal entrance into the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. These are some of the subjects that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed within the heart of Rishi Rupa Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya empowered him with his own realizations, his own love, and his own power to put this information in transcendental literature. He gave Rupa Goswami the instruction to go to Vrindavan, to take the essence of all the scriptures and reveal the love of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Through Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he would reveal to him the holy places of Krishna's Leela to reveal to the whole world, to establish beautiful temples and deity worship, and to exemplify the true qualities of a Vaishnava. When Lord Chaitanya was going to leave Prayag, Rupa Goswami begged him, "Please let me come with you." Lord Chaitanya said, "I have ordered you to go to Vrindavan." To perform my mission there. Later you can come to Puri to visit me. Lord Chaitanya got on a boat, and as he was floating away, in separation Rupa Goswami fell unconscious. And a South Indian Brahmin who was hosting Lord Chaitanya at Prayag with prasad, he picked up Rupa Goswami and he went to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Fifty years ago, Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan. He was living there, initially at the Bamsi Gopal Temple, And then he was given a chance to have residence at Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple, where the deity of Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Ratnakar, there's a beautiful description. Srila Rupa Goswami, out of his love for his nephew and disciple Jiva Goswami, personally carved the deity of Radha Damodar with his own hand, personally worshipped it, and then handed that Radha Damodar to Jiva Goswami. And in the same narration, describes that sometimes Jiva Goswami would hear a flute playing, and he would run to the altar, and he would see the Murti of Sri Radha Damodar smiling and playing his flute, and sometimes dancing. And Rupa Goswami would faint in ecstasy. The love of the Lord. But it was there, in the Seva Kunj, the very heart of Vrindavan, where Krishna, Sri Radha, and the gopis and the sakis would perform their Rasa Leela, that Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis would gather to hear, to chant, to discuss Lord Chaitanya's mission, to share their ecstatic love for Krishna's teachings and pastimes. It was the meeting place of the six Goswamis and their associates. And when the temple of Govindaji was just starting to be built, as far as what I have understood, Rupa Goswami would spend most of his time at Radha Damodar Temple. He had his bhajan kutir there. And because it was so very dear to him, when ultimately he passed from this world, Sri Jiva Goswami placed his samadhi at Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple. Srila Prabhupada's rooms, the room where he performed his bhajan, where he was translating and writing purports to Srimad Bhagavatam, and then his little kitchen. And just through the window of the kitchen, just a few feet outside, is Rupa Goswami's samadhi and bhajan kutir. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Rupa Goswami the order to go to Vrindavan to write these literatures for the whole world, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Prabhupada the order. To take this message to the whole world in the English language. So year after year, Srila Prabhupada performing his bhajan, he was praying for his Guru Maharaj and Sri Rupa Goswami's blessings. And in the year, this year, that is the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya coming to Vrindavan, it's the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada leaving Vrindavan. In this year, that is the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Rupa Goswami, it's the year that Srila Prabhupada departed from the place of Rupa Goswami, Radha Damodar, to bring his teachings around the world. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON. His faith. We were describing the faith of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was so old. He was in his 90s. And he could hardly see. He could hardly walk. He could hardly move his hand without shaking. But he wrote the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, Madan Mohan is writing. To write that literature is a complete miracle of grace. Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, after 38 days on a cargo ship, heart attacks, seasickness, having no money, not knowing a single person outside of India, and now he's over 10,000 miles away. He was warned by everyone, don't go. According to all the biographies of Srila Prabhupada, I can't remember anybody who encouraged him to go. Sumati Murarji, who gave him the trip, because of her great devotion to Krishna, she ultimately surrendered to Prabhupada and let him go, but she was saying, don't go. At that age, even his god brothers, they really, it seemed like such an impossible thing to do. And shortly after he got to New York, he had a stroke. Strokes, heart attacks, that age, and he was going to start a movement all over the world. And somehow or other, he was living in the Bowery, he was kicked out, he was homeless, and some of his devotees gave him that little storefront at 26 Second Avenue. And at that time, there was not a single person with a shaved head or a dhoti or anything like that. Nobody was wearing saris. They were just chanting Hare Krishna. They didn't even know what the four regulative principles were. And Srila Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the few people who were there were thinking, what's international about this? We're a tiny little storefront in the Lower East Side of New York, which is a really kind of a run-down, homeless kind of people's place in those days. And this is an international society? Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And they said, well, maybe you should say God consciousness because nobody understands Krishna. He said, no, we are giving Krishna. It's like the miracle of grace of a blind man seeing the stars, the lame man crossing mountains, and the dumb man speaking poetry. Prabhupada had that same faith in the mercy of his guru and Krishna. And as Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could take no credit for anything, he gave all that credit to Madan Mohan, to Rupa Goswami, and to Raghunath Das Goswami. At the end of every chapter, he gives all credit to them and to Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada, what he accomplished. But he always gave credit to his guru, to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. And he would give credit to all of us. And I'm going to end by just sharing with you that for the last few weeks, I've been reading a really incredible manuscript at the Govardhan Eco Village. Our God brother Shamsundar Prabhu is residing, and he's just finishing. It's about 1,200 pages, and they're really big pages too. It's his recollections of his pastimes with Srila Prabhupada. And the title he gave it is quite interesting because it's very much the subject of what we're speaking about. Srila Prabhupada was just an instrument of divine miracles at every moment, every day practically. And because he believed so much in that grace, he lived that grace, he was that divine grace, he empowered his early followers to do the same. He would send them on missions that were unbelievable. The only way they could survive is just expecting a miracle to happen that day. And Srila Prabhupada said that the name of the book is Chasing Rhinos with the Swami. He quotes Prabhupada that if we chase a rhinoceros, if you catch a rhinoceros, no one will believe. Because no one could catch a rhinoceros. It's the hardest thing in the world to catch. So if you try and you fail, people will say, well, nobody could do it anyway. It's impossible. But if you actually catch one, people will say, oh, they're speechless. That's what Prabhupada did every day. And that's what they were doing. Incredible stories. I could begin another lecture on that subject, but it's becoming late. Srila Prabhupada, his love, his compassion, his grace, his wisdom is what will forever, in all generations to come, empower us to be instruments of that grace and to see the magic of Krishna's love in our lives. But the one beautiful thing about this book is we see how the devotees really knew they were totally unqualified. But they were really sincerely trying their best just to please Srila Prabhupada with faith in what he could do through them and what he did do through them. And what he will do through all of us if we humble ourselves and have a sincere appreciation for the value of what we have been given, to wholeheartedly receive it and to share it with others. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, how can we repay you? His answer was so simple. But it's a life mission for each of us to accept. Prabhupada said, accept what I'm giving you. And accepting it means following and share it with others. Five thousand years ago, Krishna was performing his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya was performing his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya was explaining the science of Krishna consciousness to Rupa Goswami at Prayag. And by the way, it was Prayag at the Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math that Srila Prabhupada took initiation, at the very place that Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami. That's where Srila Prabhupada took initiation, first and second, Harinam and Gayatri Diksha from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Fifty years ago, Srila Prabhupada took this message of Rupa Goswami. And here in his office, Shri Radharas Bihari Temple, where actually he spent more time than anywhere else in the entire planet after he began the ISKCON Society, we are so fortunate to offer our gratitude and our remembrance of his divine grace. Thank you very much. We shall have Sankirtan. Everyone, for Srila Prabhupada and Sri Radharas Bihari's pleasure, let us dance and chant very loudly. Mm-hmm.